Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul outlines for us all the things that are in place that a sinner might be saved. And he's dealing with the question, is God at fault when somebody does not believe? And so He provides for us the fact that God has put a whole system in place, a whole means in place by which a sinner can receive Christ. And so in Romans 10, verse 14, he works backwards. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? This is a wonderful verse because what essentially the apostle said is that God has given five necessities that are in place for someone to be saved. Now, everyone should be attuned to this today because it's all here. There's nothing lacking. The first thing that must happen is that God must send a messenger to you with his news. Jesus told us even to pray for this. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out his laborers into his harvest. And so God is telling us the first real necessity for any sinner to be saved is that he must send a messenger to bear the news of Christ and him crucified. And this happens with any servant. You look throughout the Old Testament, God raised up prophets. They would first stand in his council. In Jeremiah's case, God put forth his hand and he touched Jeremiah's mouth. And what that means is that the messenger is coming with God's authoritative message. So, messenger receives the message. The great necessity is that the messenger, what? Preach the message. So, how shall they preach unless they are sent, right? So, they got to preach what they're sent with. The message is God's message. And let me just pause and say that's a great weight for me as a pastor. I'm not standing up with my own conjectures or my own ideas. I'm the bearer of somebody else's message. So if the minister's standing up telling his stories and his little anecdotes about how to live a happy life, that's not God's message. God's message is one of killing and making alive, killing sin in our life and making us alive in Christ. And that's why we preach Jesus, his crucifixion, his life, his death, his resurrection from Genesis 1:1 and forward. All of the scriptures pertain to him. They speak of him. And if the minister's not preaching him, he's not doing his job. So he bears God's message, the message of what Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach Christ and preach him crucified. Thus in preaching, God has chosen to speak and to work in the hearts of sinners. He says, this is what I've chosen. This is what I've chosen to work with. And so the preacher is sent and he proclaims the message. He proclaims the message that is, remember, foolishness to the world. So we're not trying to make our message palatable or culturally acceptable to the world. It's foolishness, God says, but it's the power of God to save those who believe. And so then he says, how shall they hear? Verse 14 says, look, how shall they believe in one in whom they've not heard? Who are they hearing? Well, the people hear through the message that it's not the man. The man is decreasing, but Christ is increasing. They're hearing Jesus speak through the man. That's the amazing thing about preaching. The verse is saying that one does not believe unless they recognize who's speaking. And Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. Where do they hear his voice? through the ambassador sent to preach the gospel. His voice is found as it goes out to the ends of the earth through the gospel preached. And the necessity is that the people hear that for what it is. That is, let me just say, a tough sell today. When people don't come to sit under the word of Christ, they come to be entertained. Most of the service is given to drama, dance, singing, whatever it would be. Everything to evade the task of preaching, and you get short 10-minute homilies maybe. But to church, they come with a highly critical judgment over the word when it feels overpowering, or when the minister convicts of sin, or when the minister exposes the heart. People don't like that. But Christ is saying, look, you've got to hear it for what it is. And Jesus said that. He who listens to you listens to me, and he who rejects you rejects me. So the message is not the man's message. It's Christ's message. And what needs to be understood is that if they don't like the message, it's not the man they're rejecting. He is just the postman. You're not liking what Christ has said. And you don't have to read very far through the Gospels to see that a lot of people didn't like what Christ said. In John 6, and if I were preaching that today to you, my title to that sermon would be, How to Shrink Your Church. He starts with 5,000, and by the time he was done, his teachings were so hard that he dwindled it down to 12, and one was a devil. Read it, from 5,000 to 12. They didn't like his teachings because he was in your face about sin and the need to repent. That means turn from sin and come under his lordship. To believe and rest in him is the only way, truth, and life. So Paul goes on. He says, how will they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? Believing's the fourth necessity. You have to believe. It's believing in the heart, as we looked at last week. So the sinner is so convicted as the preacher has made known the real truth of the matter from God's perspective about sin, and they are compelled to believe in the heart. Christ is the only way of escape, and Christ becomes beautiful to them. They fall upon him. What happens? Fifth, they call, Oh, Christ, save me. Deliver me from my sin. And what Paul is saying is that God has done everything necessary to produce that. He has sent. The sent ones have preached. Those who are believing hear that word. They believe that word. And they call upon Christ for deliverance. From the beginning, God is saying, he raised up and sent preachers that salvation in this manner would occur. In fact, Galatians 3, the gospel was what to Abraham? Preached to Abraham. Israel, Hebrews 3 and 4, talks about having the word of God preached to them, but they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't believe. And that should give us, let me say, a great heart for missions. We should be giving our money to see that the world would receive, if you are a Christian today, what you have. I want to encourage everyone who believes they are called maybe to the ministry and you have had that inward call confirmed by those in a church. The field is white for the harvest. We need sent ones. The Lord raises them up and sends them to the ends of the earth. Now, here's where I'm going with this week. This is not a New Testament phenomenon. You go to a church on Sunday, you sit, you hear the word proclaimed. That's not a New Testament phenomenon. He cites Isaiah here in Romans chapter 10 to prove it. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. It's as if God is saying, let me show you who truly beautiful people are to me. If you're a woman out there today, I would imagine and hope I don't cross you here, but maybe you have painted your feet and you've soaked them to make them smell nice and you have filed the nails and you've bought nice shoes to decorate them. And yet you have in no way really worked towards beauty. Why are feet beautiful in God's eyes? Here are beautiful feet in God's eyes. What is pictured when he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace? You know what's pictured? A leather beaten, bloody, smelly foot, cut up and dirty, that's traveled from a great distance to bring to you a message that you need to be saved. You see, essentially, we're taken to the scene when Peter wanted to wash Jesus' feet. They were filthy, they were dirty, they were stinky. And Jesus stoops down and washes theirs. And Jesus says, I must do this for you to have a part with me. And God has put this in place today. He sends you messengers every week. And that messenger has to travel through very hard truths in the Word of God to bring you those truths. And you don't wash my feet as the minister, but Christ through me washes your feet through your faithful minister who's preaching the gospel. Every week, feet are being washed. That's the wonderful news. We don't need to have a literal feet washing thing up on the stage, so to speak. Christ is washing your feet through the message preached. And those feet are beautiful to you, those cut up bloody feet, that you are overwhelmed with thankfulness and joy that God would send those feet to you. Now, what I'm saying is this. There's a recognition that God has sent you a servant to bear the news of the gospel if he's a faithful preaching, Christ-preaching servant. And that servant is proclaiming, yeah, sin is bad, you're under the wrath of God, but there's a way of escape through his son. When's the last time you've given any reflection upon what the wrath of God really is? I mean, Jesus said it. They say he spoke three times more, if you tallied it up in the New Testament, about wrath, hell, and judgment than love. So, if Jesus spoke about a place where the worm does not die, where people will go, that means the worm will never stop eating flesh? There will be endless torment? God has sent, since the beginning of the world, preachers of righteousness to flee people and to deliver them from the wrath to come. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, all the prophets. How many preachers are sent across this world? God has evangelized the world this way. It is all in place. It has always been, and it even is to this day. Everything is in place for the sinner to be saved. Now, my friends, God has put all this in place. Can anyone say, well, Lord, I never heard? Christ is preached all over the earth. Can someone say, Lord, I never knew about a church? It's on every corner. The only issue will be on that day is, did you believe in my son? The minister called you to believe in my son. My word was given for you to believe. And so the great question is, have you believed upon Christ to everlasting life?
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com, find out a bit more about us, take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.